Yeah, yeah. CL. Yeah. Yes, sir. The mother guys ain't got no style. We know what's up before it go down. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now. This is the fans' voice. You hear them vocals. This what the people need and what they want now. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. This is the rundown. If you ain't know the deal, I bet you know now.
Oh, gotta know it.
This is John.
Yep. Hey. Okay. You know what it is? Yeah, got one for the money, two's for the show. The rundown sports by the term that for show. It ain't no. Hey. Let's do it. What's happening? What's going down, people? What up, dog? It's your homie CL back on the Rundown Sports Podcast. Gotta know that. And I thank all y'all for joining me. However you're joining me right now, I appreciate the company. Because otherwise, I feel like I'm talking to myself. But you can always find us at darundown.com. That's darundown.com if you didn't know. We are the new voice in Atlanta sports and hip-hop. Gotta know that. And you can get this free gem every time it comes out by subscribing on iTunes or YouTube. And becoming real soon to the Stitcher Radio and the SoundCloud. You gotta know it. Hey, I'm rocking to this beat right now. Shout out to the boy Designy Beats. Hey man, I'm supposed to be doing a podcast. He got me feeling like I want to do a track right now. You know, we just had J.R. Gamble on the last podcast to talk about that Mayweather fight. If y'all didn't hear that conversation, it was real good. Y'all can check that out. Just look up J.R. Gamble on the Rundown. But today, we're getting back to the football. Oh yes, that old pigskin. But no NFL, like I promised, I had a little incident with that podcast. So we're going to talk a little UGA football. I had to bring on Jeremy Attaway from DawgSports.com, a.k.a. The Making Dog. And I just asked him how the fans feeling after these two up and down weeks. Do the fans believe in Mark Richt? What's the deal with Ty Gurley? And what's got to happen for the Dawgs to get back into the college football playoffs? All that and more. Hey, but y'all know what it is, man. I'm going to catch y'all on the flip side. Let's go. Joining me today on the Rundown Sports Podcast, I have Jeremy Attaway, a.k.a. The Making Dog. How you doing today, Jeremy?
Doing well. How about you?
Oh, I can't complain, man. It's been one of those days, but I don't even want to get into the ups and downs of what I've been going through so far. So I want to get right into some of this UGA. But before we do that, why don't you just give me and give my audience just a quick overview about what you do as far as covering the UGA Bulldogs.
Well, we're part of the SB Nation family of sites and cover Georgia football, baseball, basketball, recruiting, tennis, golf. You name it. If it's related to University of Georgia sports, we cover it at DawgSports.com.
All right, that's what's up, man. And here at the Rundown Sports, we're an Atlanta-based sports and music website and podcast. So definitely a lot of UGA fans coming to check us out. So I had to bring you on, especially after the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been kind of up and down.
Yeah, man. So I guess we could, you know what? Let's start the story from the very beginning, and I guess that'll kind of frame the whole conversation. So coming into the season, UGA had like 15 to 22 starters returning, and I know most of those were on defense. And most notable to me was the fact that there was the departure of three offensive linemen. And, of course, Aaron Murray, the quarterback. So I had my expectations tempered coming into the season as far as UGA. So we get to the season, and they crush Clemson 45-21, and they start getting this, I guess, moniker of one of the better teams in the country. So going into the South Carolina game, where expectations were low for South Carolina and high for UGA, kind of just went out the window. So with all that being said, where is the UGA fans perceiving the chances for UGA to get back into the playoff chase, and kind of just the temperature in general on the team?
You know, it's interesting. We ran a poll on this issue on Sunday and asked people where they thought Georgia would end up in the East. And it wasn't a majority, the plurality of folks, the largest number of folks thought that Georgia still stands a really good chance to win the SEC East. A lot of that is because, of course, right now, even though it seems like they're trailing South Carolina, if you think about it, they've got the same number of losses in the SEC as the Gamecocks do. They both stand at one loss. Georgia, of course, loses the tiebreaker to South Carolina if it comes down to that. But I don't know anybody who thinks that that South Carolina team is going to go undefeated through the rest of their SEC schedule. They got to go to Florida. Got to go. They've got the same Missouri team, Georgia. South Carolina does not have an easy road. Georgia, on the other hand, gets Auburn at home. Of course, they get Florida in Jacksonville, just like they do every year, and have had a lot of luck down there in the past 3 years. So the feeling among Georgia fans, I think, is they've still got as good a shot probably to get into the playoffs as they did before. The last time Georgia lost to South Carolina in Columbia was in 2012, and everybody remembers that was the season where they came 5 yards from beating Alabama and probably winning a national championship, because they were at least as good as that Notre Dame team was that Alabama crowned. So I don't think Georgia fans are panicking by any stretch. Of course, they're really probably, in terms of Mark Richt, I don't think he's in any trouble. If anybody's taking some heat right now, it's probably Mike Bobo. He admitted on that first and goal call from the four in the South Carolina game that he probably messed up. He really probably should have given it to Todd Gurley. When you've got the Heisman front runner, 225 in the field and 4 chances to get 4 yards, you should probably just let him get 4 yards. That's really what you should do. On the other hand, in that situation, I don't think he expected Hudson Mason to mess things up like that. The play-action pass kind of made sense. You look back, South Carolina did actually have 10 defenders in the box. I mean, there were 10 Gamecock defenders up on the line keying on Todd Gurley. So if he was going to get that touchdown, he was not going to get it without being touched. He was going to have to go through contact to get there. So, there was a rationale for the call, but with what Hudson Mason did getting the grounding penalty, I told somebody the only analogy I could come up with for that is it's kind of like you send him into the kitchen to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and somehow or another he caught the house on fire. you really can't account for a fifth-year senior quarterback having things go that wrong. I think fans are fairly understanding in terms of Mark Richt. Mike Bobo, though, is not getting a lot of quarter.
Okay, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Mark Richt the offensive coordinator at Florida State?
He was.
Okay, so
he was. And called plays at Georgia up until, I believe, 2005.
So what's the issue there? Are they still running the same system?
Yeah, it's very similar. It's changed a little bit. Georgia now probably runs way more of what I would call sort of the pro style spread. They run out of the shotgun a lot. Hudson Mason, who's the fifth-year senior quarterback who they have this year, comes out of Lassiter High School there in Cobb County. A lot of your listeners will be familiar with them and be familiar with the system they ran in high school. He threw a lot of passes to Philip Lutz and Kirchen. They were teammates there. He came out of kind of a Tony Franklin spread, hurry up, no huddle kind of attack. And so Georgia, with him at the helm, has moved more toward doing that. And a little further away from the pro-style kind of attack they had with David Green and DJ Shockley and Matt Stafford. So,
right.
It's a similar look. And a lot of the concepts that they run now, they ran before, they're just now running it out of spread formations.
Okay, well, since we're talking about Mark Richt, I'll wrap it up on this. Putting the four trucks aside, are the fans eventually going to buy into him and really give him his props for keeping UGA relevant almost every single year?
You know, I think that he is probably he's in an interesting situation. The closest analogy I could draw of a college coach in recent memory would probably be Mack Brown at Texas, where, you know, Mack Brown recruited exceptionally for years at Texas, had good teams, went to the Cotton Bowl, finished in the top five, but the knock on him was, oh, he can't win a national championship. And then he finally did that, and the heat really came off of him. Similar kind of thing with Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. He wins that championship in 2000. Yeah, and suddenly, he has an entirely different reputation as a coach. Mark Richt is really beloved among Georgia fans, and interestingly, I believe it was Sports Illustrated who a couple of weeks ago did a poll actually of sports writers who cover college football and asked, if you had a son and he was going to play college football, which coach would you want him to play for? And, Mark Richt was the winner. He was the guy who he and Bob Stoops were the two coaches who got the most votes, guys who cover football would want their sons to play for. And you hear that, with parents, and that's something that he'll always have. You sort of feel like that national title is the one missing piece. And I've told people that if Mark Richt can get that one title, you could really see the roof blown off this program. You could see a situation where if he's able to say to five-star blue-chip recruits, hey, you could play for me or you could play for Nick Saban, I've got just as good a chance of winning you a national championship as he does. He really has the chance to build something unbelievable in Athens if he can, if he can just get over that first hurdle. The other thing that he has going for him is that he's had such sustained success at Georgia that he's got some time to do that. Bulldog right. fans are, he's finished in the top three, three times since he's been there. It would help him if he could win an SEC title. It's been since 2005 since he accomplished that. But all in all, his seat is not particularly toasty. I've told people that this year, I was asked earlier by another site, what would it take for Mark Richt to be on the hot seat after 2014? And I think the answer is probably somewhere in the 7-5 and lose to Florida range. Happens, then he's in trouble. But, with so many new starters on the offensive line replacing Aaron Murray, I think most Bulldog fans had fairly tempered expectations for this year. New defensive coordinator, entirely new defensive staff. I really think Mark Richt probably has a pass on this year unless it's a disaster.
And I like how you said that, he's a 7-5 and a loss to Florida. That just shows you how much these rivalry games, especially in college, mean to the fans and just the whole program overall.
Absolutely. And I would say by turns that Will Muschamp at Florida is probably 7-5 and another loss to Georgia away from polishing the old resume. So
yeah, I'm keeping my eyes on Will Muschamp down there because I got a few Florida fans, and they ain't feeling too good about the direction it's been going since Urban Meyer left. And I know Urban Meyer has his dream job of coaching Ohio State, but I think he really does miss that advantage of being able to coach in Florida with the weather, because he's a great recruiter anywhere he goes. But who's coming to Ohio State and deal with them winners?
Right, right. Yeah, that's not to mention the fact that there's a certain prestige that comes to being able to tell recruits that they're playing in the SEC.
Right.
But playing in the Big Ten doesn't have quite the same cachet.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. I'm actually a Big Ten guy. I root hard for Michigan and not Michigan State because I have a little cousin that's playing there. But, yeah, man, I do miss the glory days when you could probably count on at least four or five guys out the Big Ten going to the first round and, you know, always having somebody in the national championship conversation. But it seems like since the BCS came, that's went out the window and haven't had a chance to rebound since. But,
I agree.
It's just one of those things. Now, I kind of want to talk about Ty Gurley a little bit more before I let you go, because the comparisons, now me personally, I'm one of those type of people that will hold off until like I see it over, you know, a year or 2 years, and I haven't really been plugged in on UGA. I just seen a couple interviews. The guy has his head on his shoulders the right way as far as I can tell, because when the comparisons are brought up, he feels like, man, it's cool, but I have more work to do. So that tells me he's in the right direction. Now, just tell me from a pure talent standpoint, what's the best comp, and where do you see him finishing all time with UGA running backs?
Yeah, he's, I think, all time, in terms of statistics, he's going to be a little bit behind some of the guys who stay for 4 years. And he's also probably going to, he's obviously going to finish behind Herschel Walker in a lot of statistical categories, just because, you know, Herschel got the ball 30 times a game, which in today's college football environment, you just don't do. A tailback like Todd Gurley is kind of like a Ferrari. You take him out of the garage and you just drive him around a little bit, you know, and you shammy him off and put him right back up. You don't go off-roading in the Ferrari.
Right.
And Mark Richt knows that. In terms of where he finishes in the all-time pantheon, frankly, a lot of it probably depends on how far he carries this team this year. He's statistically probably going to finish second or third in most of the major categories. Like I said, going to have a hard time catching Herschel for touchdowns and for total yards, but it's going to be probably right up there with Lars Tate, Tim Worley, and Rodney Hampton, who, along with Knowshon Moreno, sort of form that four horsemen behind Herschel in terms of Bulldog tailbacks. Garrison Hurst also statistically has some really good numbers. Garrison Hurst was a guy who really finished I think third overall in the Heisman voting his big year. A lot of people think should have won the Heisman that year, and so you know, if Todd Gurley leads Georgia into the playoff at the end of the year, if you see an 11-1 Georgia team go to Atlanta, for instance, and play Alabama, and Todd Gurley just runs through that Alabama defense, which this year is not as good as I think some of the Alabama defenses we've seen, then I think he's right up there. I think he could be considered legendary among Georgia fans.
Okay, so what? You didn't give me a name. Like who does he most look like?
I would say probably in terms of the tailbacks we've seen at Georgia. Todd Gurley, it's hard to say that he's like anybody. He's sort of a hybrid. Some people say Herschel. He's not quite as big as Herschel. I don't know that he's as strong as Herschel was, but he has that kind of world-class speed. You don't see that from 225-pound tailbacks very often. So that's one comparison that you hear. He reminds me a lot sometimes of Tim Worley, the guy who is a big favorite among Georgia fans, went on and played in the NFL, spent some time, I believe, with the Steelers, now has a ministry that he's very active in, including with the Georgia program. Okay. He's a guy who you sort of think, when you see Todd Gurley run, you think maybe of Tim Worley, except for the fact that he's probably a little bigger than Tim was in his college days.
Okay, that's fair enough. Everybody doesn't have a perfect comparison, but I see you plugged in when it comes to your UGA. I'm going to just wrap it up, and I'm going to let you go on this. Give me two specific games outside of UGA's schedule, meaning, you know, has nothing to do with UGA, that will make sure they get into the playoffs.
I think the big ones that Georgia fans are probably going to be watching going forward that don't involve them, at this point, and of course, you never know. Sometimes games become a lot more significant at the end of the year than you thought they would be at the beginning of the year. But I think at this point, looking at the schedule, most Georgia fans would tell you it's that South Carolina at Auburn game that Georgia really needs the Gamecocks to drop, and also probably the South Carolina at Florida game. At this point, Georgia's still in a position to win a tiebreaker over Missouri. You know, they get the Tigers on the road in Columbia and can still take care of business there, but they do need some help from South Carolina. And winning the SEC East is really the gateway to all their goals. It's really unlikely that any SEC team is going to make it into the playoff without at least going to Atlanta for the championship game. And if you're a one-loss SEC team like Georgia, you're probably going to have to win that game in Atlanta to make it in. So those two South Carolina games, you can guarantee that most Georgia fans are going to be keeping an eye on what's going on in those.
All right, man. I'm definitely going to be keeping my eye on both of those games, especially when they get a little closer up on the schedule. I appreciate you coming in, Jeremy, and I'll make sure that folks have the links to come find you. What's your Twitter handle?
You can find us on Twitter at DogSports, DawgSports. And you can also find us on Facebook. We cross over. A lot of our content goes up on Facebook as well.
All right. Sounds
as well good. As well as some exclusive stuff that we don't necessarily put up on the website or on Twitter.
Oh, okay. So you got some exclusive Facebook content.
Yep. Yep. Huh. You'll see stuff on the Twitter account, on the Facebook account that you won't see on the regular site, or sometimes even on the other. So I always recommend that folks like both of those.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all heard that. Y'all come check out Jeremy, a.k.a. the Making Dog, over there at Dog Sports. I appreciate the time.
Yep. Enjoy the sale.
All right. That was Jeremy Attaway from DogSports.com. I'd like to thank him one more time for coming in, kicking it with the homie. And if you didn't get any of those links, you can find them all in the show notes, either on the YouTube or on the Rundown.com. You got to know that. Not gonna hold it up no longer, but I wanna let this beat rock.
This is John.
We out. Peace.